You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. We're kicking off a new week. It's January 28th, 2019. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, you can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do like it. Well, today's show is about fresh starts. I'm going to give you five players who I think will benefit from a fresh start in 2019. And some of these are going to be pertaining to the coaching change, and some of them won't. Some of them will just be about guys whose 2018 did not go all that well for them, and they could just benefit from turning the page on the calendar. So I have five people to talk about. And my first guy is going to be somebody on the defensive side of the ball, and that's Leonard Williams, whose 2018 I think was pretty disappointing. It's become like kind of a running gag, I think, among some portions of the fan base, because Williams has talked about hidden production that has not shown up in the stat sheet. So I think there's a frustrated segment of the fan base who pointed that as though Williams is not pulling his weight on defense. And it's partially true, it's partially not. There are some areas of Williams' game where he's benefiting other guys on the defense by just doing the dirty work, by tying up blockers. And I think part of the issue with Williams is just that he doesn't have a lot of help up front. He has not had a lot of help beside him, so he's had to take on constant double team. Now, not always, and I think it is fair to question his level of production to some extent, especially in 2018. I think by almost any measure, it was a disappointing year. There were too many instances where he was losing, where he was not producing even in a hidden way, where he was, even back in 2017, where his numbers weren't that spectacular, I think that he still was pretty effective. I think he was winning his assignments more often than not. Now, the Jets picked him sixth overall back in 2015 because they thought he was going to be a big-time difference maker. You know, they thought this was a guy who, I would say that expectations were that he'd be playing at a Pro Bowl level every year. That would not be, and so far in his career, in his 4 years, he's only reached the Pro Bowl once. And I know the Pro Bowl is kind of a popularity contest, so you can't always use that to judge player quality. But I think there's really only been 1 year in his career where he played at a Pro Bowl level, and that was his second year, 2016. I think the other years he's just been somewhere between solid and good. And I think when the Jets drafted him, they were hoping for more. I think they were hoping for as a peak, as a ceiling, maybe he'd be somebody who has the type of impact of an Aaron Donald. But at the very least, I think they were hoping for a Pro Bowl-type player along the interior offensive line. So I think a fresh start will do him well. I think that he may be a guy people kind of use to pin too much blame on Todd Bowles when they look at the way he did not produce in 2018, because you do have to remember Williams was a Pro Bowler under Todd Bowles. Williams was I don't think it's necessarily fair to blame all of Williams' woes on Todd Bowles, but you know, we'll see what happens in this new scheme. It's possible he's put into a role where he can make more plays in this defense. It's possible with the amount of resources the Jets will have in this offseason, maybe they can get some better pieces around him so that he'll have less double teams to face, so that some other guys can draw some attention and leave him with types of matchups that he can win one-on-one. I don't think anybody would ever question that Leonard Williams lacks power, lacks the ability to just drive guys back. So if he starts seeing more single blockers, and look, it's not just about that. There were instances in 2018 where he lost one-on-one. I think it's not, you can't, the truth is complicated. There's no single narrative that fits that explains everything. It's not all about him. It's all about him being productive and nobody appreciating it, because there were some instances where actual production, you know, actual numbers do matter. Actual playmaking ability matters as much as tying up blocks. I don't think it's a case where you can necessarily blame the coaching staff completely, but I think there might be some degree of truth to the idea that he could use a fresh start. Maybe somebody, who knows, maybe a coach like Greg Williams, who's more fiery, where Todd Bowles is laid back. Maybe Williams get a little too comfortable. I don't know. Maybe a guy with some fire, some passion like Williams can kind of make something click with something. The coach, Greg Williams, can make something click within Leonard Williams to help improve him. So I think he's the first guy I'd look to as, you know, somebody who could probably use a fresh start for this team. My second guy is somebody who actually probably had the best year of his career in 2018, so it's a little odd to put him on this list. But he's a guy who I think has been, overall, in his 3 years, you've not gotten what you were hoping for from him, and that's Darren Lee. And I think that the one thing about Lee that does leave you with some degree of optimism is I do think his coverage was better this last year. I mean, I think he was a liability in coverage his first 2 years. He was not a liability year three. Now, I don't think he was great against the run, but I think that's part of the fresh start. You know, I keep hearing about how the Jets are, quote-unquote, moving to a 4-3, and I'm not sure it's necessarily as simple as people are making it out to be. But I think Lee would probably benefit from a different role. Now, I don't know whether that's, you know, the role in Todd Bowles' defense, whether that's, you know, changing him to a weak side linebacker in the Williams defense, a middle linebacker in the Williams defense. I think the thing that has to happen is the Jets need to leave him in less situations where he needs to shed a block. He's just a guy who has not grown in that area. He just has not become stout enough at the point of attack. If you get a blocker on him, you're pretty much going to wipe him out. And there were too many runs last year where Lee just was wiped out on a big run, and it looked like it was his responsibility. So he's not a guy who's been that strong against the run. So they just need to figure out a way to keep him clean. And maybe that means, you know, finding somebody who's more of a space eater to put in front of him, you know, somebody who can just take on the double team and make sure Lee is clean and allow him to maybe utilize the skills that he does have, the speed that he has. That might be the way to do it. I'm not sure it's necessarily a position change as much as it's a role change. I think, you know, within the Todd Bowles system, if the Jets had done a better job putting guys who are more apt to absorb blocks, to tie up blockers, than they were guys who to penetrate. And if that's the type of guy you want in front of Lee, somebody who can tie up blockers and keep Lee clean. And, you know, hopefully for the Jets, he's a guy who continues to grow as a pass defender, as a cover guy. I do think that there were some steps forward he took this last year, and I think, you know, this is another guy who maybe this coaching change is something that can help him out a little bit. Locked On Jets podcast here Monday, January 28th. We're talking about Jets who could benefit from a fresh start as the calendar has turned to 2019. The Jets have a new coaching staff in place. And now I'm going to talk about the guy who I really think, actually, above all others, could probably benefit from different usage under the new coaching staff, and that's Quincy Enunwa. And I think the Jets need to get back to the way they were utilizing him under Chan Gailey, where they were moving him around much more. I think he has been miscast a bit in the role Jeremy Bates had him in. Now, the one thing I do think Bates did, which made sense to me, was utilizing Enunwa in the screen game, because I view Quincy as a guy who's, he's kind of a new age positionless guy. You know, as this league evolves, you're seeing more and more players who don't really have one natural position, where they're kind of like combinations of different positions. You have your tight ends who function like wide receivers, your running backs who function like wide receivers, your receivers who are good with the ball in their hands, who are kind of like running backs. And to me, Enunwa is kind of a guy, when he's at his best, he's a little combination of the three skill positions: part running back, part receiver, part tight end. And yes, that'll mean there will be points where he's utilized out wide, but I just view him as more of a movable chess piece type of guy who does a little bit of everything. And, you know, the thing about these hybrid type players is they're always listed as something in their program, you know, but that doesn't necessarily define their role. Just because a guy's a tight end, sometimes some guys who are listed as tight ends are more like wide receivers. Same thing with backs, and some wide receivers are kind of more like running backs. And so I think the Jets, you have Enunwa. I don't think he's the type of guy who's so easy to label. I think if I remember back in 2015, I always caught a lot of grief with this for this, because back when I was writing, I always listed Enunwa as a tight end, because that's almost the way the Jets were using him that year. That was the year where the Jets really did not have much at the position. You know, they had Kellen Davis and Jeff Cumberland in 2015. So in terms of conventional tight ends, they really did not have all that much. So they used Enunwa in that role where they kind of used him in the middle of the field. He played H-back a lot. He was in the slot. They used him as a blocker. So I'd like to see the Jets figure out more creative ways to use them than we saw this past year. Now, I do think a healthy dose of screens will be in the cards for him, because, again, he's a guy who's good with the ball in his hands. He's a guy who is tough to bring down in the open field. So I think continuing to feed him the ball on screens makes sense. But I'd like to manufacture other touches for him. I'd like to see him get a handoff or two, maybe on a sweep, on a motion play before the snap, and hand it off to him with a head of steam getting forward. I wouldn't mind seeing him line up in the backfield, see if you can get also, first of all, some handoffs, but second of all, see if you can isolate him against the linebacker. Maybe get a mismatch because they mistake him for a running back. Maybe get him one-on-one against the linebacker, which is a mismatch. Utilize him more in the middle of the field. So, you know, just move him around a little bit. Diversify his usage. I think that's where you get the most out of Quincy Enunwa. Like, they just recently re-signed Enunwa to an annual deal around $9 million per year. And to me, Enunwa is not a $9 million player right now. But I think that he could become a $9 million player if he's utilized correctly. I can see that happening. I think that contract could end up working out pretty well for the Jets if they have a new coaching staff that's creative. And also, you know, utilize his blocking skills. I think that's one of the smartest things the Todd Bowles regime did was those that first year. They realized they did not have much at the tight end position, so they looked at Enunwa, and you have to remember that in college, Enunwa played at Nebraska, which at the time was a run-heavy option team, and you don't get on the field as a wide receiver for a team with an offense like that unless you block really well. So they said, well, you know what, this is a good blocking wide receiver, we'll utilize his blocking skills. I just think that was a really good way to go, and I think the Jets got away from that a little bit after Chan Gailey left. And I think it's something that they should get back to. I think Enunwa was a piece. He's not a go-to guy. I think we've figured out that he's not really a go-to guy. And to be honest with you, his production's a little disappointing. I think you were hoping to get more from him. I think injury concerns are there for him. I think, look, there are some negatives there. But I think he's a guy who could be a supporting player in a good offense going forward. And, you know, hopefully for the Jets, that's what he'll be. Now, my next guy who I think could use a fresh start, and this really is not related to coaching change at all, but it's Marcus May, and we all know Marcus May is a good player, and we all know Marcus May, at this point, I would say, looks like a pretty good draft pick. We know this guy can play in the NFL. He was effective this year when he was in the lineup, but he just missed a lot of time this year, and we're kind of in what I call sort of a scary situation with May, because I see his career unfolding one of two ways, where either 2018 will just be something we forget. It'll be a footnote. It'll just be just a year that doesn't really resonate when we talk about May's career. Or it's going to be the first year where we look back and we say, you know, May is a good player, but he just can't, when he's on the field, but he just can't get on the field. And it started in 2018 because, and honestly, it actually started in 2017 when he suffered that injury the last game of the year against New England, had the offseason surgery, then missed some games early. He was dealing with multiple injuries, like three or four different injuries during the season that limited his playing time. And it seemed like they were all different, did not seem like they were connected. So, you know, hopefully he has an offseason to, you know, hopefully he's begun the recovery process. Hopefully he's getting better. Hopefully he's got an offseason to, you know, get whatever he needs to get right, and come back next year. Because he and Adams could make a dynamite safety pairing. I mean, the Jets could be – there are not many positions where I think the Jets are set, but if May comes back healthy, May has a full 16-game season, I think we could agree the Jets are probably set at safety for a long time. And, you know, he's an important player in this defense, and he's going to continue to be a very important player in a Greg Williams defense. If Greg Williams wants to attack, he wants to build that type of defense – you know, the guy at the back is you really need somebody steady back there. And I don't think it's an accident what we saw this year. You have to remember back 2016, what was the biggest problem with one of the biggest problems with the Jets defense? They kept breaking down in the back. They kept having these coverage busts. 2017, May's back there. Rookie does a good job as the last line of defense, playing that single high a lot. Jets don't have as many coverage problems. They don't. 2018, May's in and out of the lineup. What happens? Back of the defense. Again, there are all these coverage busts. It seems like the Jets can't execute basic coverages sometimes. I think that there's probably, look, I can't definitively point to many plays and say, this is an example. This is a clear example of where May's missed when we're talking about these coverage busts. But it seems like more than a coincidence to me that the Jets have all these communication breakdowns the year before May arrives and the year May misses with injury. And they don't seem to have as many the year May's back there. So I think he's a big player for this team. I just think he needs a fresh year, hopefully a clean bill of health for him. And maybe that'll get his career back on track. We're here today on Locked On Jets talking about some players who could use a fresh start. My last guy, I'm not so sure it's necessarily he needs a fresh start as much as it's just good that he's got a year under his belt, and it's the obvious choice, I guess. It's Sam Darnold, the franchise quarterback of the Jets, the new franchise quarterback. He'll be entering year two, and I just think it's a good thing for him that he's finally got that rookie experience behind him. I think one of the toughest things for rookies sometimes is just understanding what it's like to go through an NFL season, understanding what the process is like preparing week in, week out, dealing with the fatigue that comes from a long season, a 16-game schedule over 17 weeks. And now he's got some time to kind of reflect on what went wrong, what he can do differently in his preparation, what he did right, what it takes to succeed in the NFL. Now, this is the offseason where he can really kind of go on offense, work on parts of his game that he think need to be developed. And he'll have a new playbook, and he'll kind of be in command. I think this is going to be his offense going forward. He's not a guy who's going to be trying to play catch-up anymore like he was a year ago. You have to remember he came in around May. So he was kind of at a disadvantage where everybody else had an earlier start than he did to learn the offensive system. Now he's going to come in. He'll have a chance to take command of this offense, really get started working on things. And also, he's just got the benefit of now understanding what NFL defenses do. He's got a year under his belt, having adjusted to the speed of NFL defenses, having adjusted to the looks, having seen a lot of the wild looks you don't get in college from defenses. I just think everything for him, or hopefully everything, will be better going forward. You can never guarantee players' trajectories are not always linear as much as we'd like them to be, but it's also true that for many players, the biggest improvement they make is between year one and year two for just the reasons I mentioned, because you had a chance to really get a year under your belt to really understand what it takes to be a pro, what it means to have success as a pro. So I think these are things that'll help Darnold, and I think that this is going to, this is a year where it's going to be very good for, it's very good for him that he got that starting experience under his belt, that he got that game experience. He had a year to be the man with the Jets, and now hopefully for the Jets, he takes control of this huddle in year two and builds on what was a strong finish. It kind of felt like he was heading in that direction near the end of the year, especially after he got back from the injury the last quarter of the season. Now, week 17 against New England was not that great, but prior to that, he played three really solid games, three really good games, kind of felt like he was getting comfortable being a pro quarterback, and now he's got a full offseason to kind of develop more, learn more, and really hit the ground running in 2019. That's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great Monday, and we'll be back again tomorrow.